radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump now calling for Iran's complete surrender of its nuclear program, saying the U.S. controls the skies over all of Iran and says a strike against the supreme leader is not off the table, posting he's an easy target. ABC's Karen Travers says it's a big change after U.S. and Iran nuclear talks were scheduled.
That sixth round of talks was scheduled for last weekend in Oman, and Iran canceled it after the Israeli strikes. Now, the president had said that he had told Iran to make a deal and that they need to make a deal, but he said right now he is not too much in the mood to negotiate.
The commander-in-chief of the Iranian army issuing a new warning for Israel, saying a punitive response is coming. ICE agents took New York comptroller Brad Lander into custody today. Sources tell ABC News he was detained for obstructing an immigration hearing. Lander is also running for New York City mayor. A press release says he was observing immigration hearings. This is ABC News. The Trump Organization, the conglomerate of President Trump's business ventures, rolled out the release of a mobile phone and plan called Trump Mobile. ABC's Jay O'Brien says some lawmakers are raising more ethics questions about the latest business venture.
The new mobile phone service managed by the president's adult sons and already accepting pre-orders. The first model, the T1 phone, selling for $499, with shipments promised as early as August. In an unprecedented move, Eric Trump claiming the phones will be produced in the U.S.
We're doing it right here in the United States. You're not calling up call centers in Bangladesh. You're not, you know, you're doing it right out of St. Louis, Missouri.
But some industry experts warning mass producing of a smartphone in the U.S. is currently nearly impossible and would take at least 5 to 10 years to catch up to China, where most of the world's smartphones are currently made.
Severe storms on the march again today. West Virginia already inundated, facing another flood threat today. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A northern Wisconsin lawmaker reflects on the weekend's political violence. State Representative Pat Snyder says the assassination of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband and the wounding of a second lawmaker and his wife was shocking.
Absolutely shocking. So close here in the Midwest. to be able to invade their home and the premeditated thinking about this. I'm so glad that they finally caught him.
State Assembly is scheduled to be in session on Wednesday. Snyder says there will be a moment of silence for the Minnesota victims. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss confirmed to WIS Politics Monday his office has requested an increased security presence for session on Wednesday. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was included in a list of names found in the vehicle of the man accused in the shooting of the Minnesota lawmakers.
Baldwin's office has confirmed that law enforcement informed the senator that her name was on the list. Vance Belther is accused of posing as a police officer and killing Democratic Minnesota State Representative and former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and shooting and injuring Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. Democrats U.S. Congressman Mark Pocam and State Senator Kelda Royce have also confirmed they were on the list. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A nationwide opioid settlements moving forward.
Attorneys general from across the country have reached a sweeping multi-billion dollar settlement with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family over marketing and distribution of opioids. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call announced Monday the $7.4 billion agreement with the makers of OxyContin has not been finalized. Call said the next step in the process is that local governance will be asked to join the settlement contingent on bankruptcy court proceedings. Under this settlement, Wisconsin's state and local governments would receive as much as $80 million over the next 15 years. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today, slightly sticky and still warm, with high temperatures scraping 80. Small chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, turns more likely tonight. And we could get soaked tomorrow with heavy rain on and off at times. Cooler temperatures in the upper 70s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Well, here we go again. The markets acted a little bit better today. Straightened up just a little bit, I would dare
well,
even say.
Well, the grains did, yeah. Davis.
The grains. Yeah. And
well,
you're saying?
Yeah.
There's another side of that coin?
Yes, there is. So soybeans extended gains without the help of soybean oil, but we did see corn and wheat rally, except for July corn again. And tensions rise in the Iran-Israel conflict, sending energy markets surging and taking the stock market as well as cattle and hogs at the same time. We'll have details today on AgriTalk.
Live from 2-2-Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we've got Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, please welcome Michelle Rook. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hey, good afternoon, Davis. Well, I think it has been a pretty nice day, and I will tell you that we have gotten some decent rains up here in the Dakotas. Very welcome rains the last few days, except for a little corner of northeastern South Dakota that is actually seeing flooding. They've had 5 to 8 inches.
Yeah.
So,
wow. That's a little too much.
Yeah. They've had some flooding there. And obviously, weather is top of mind right now with the markets. But we were glad to finally get some rain here. So,
yeah. I think we're going to get some here in Kansas City. The skies are definitely threatening right now. They're predicting a mass of showers to kind of move over our area and then up sort of towards the east and slightly northward as it leaves us. But yeah, it could be some severe thunderstorms possible here in this area. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. We're just hoping that the white combine does not hit the wheat fields of Kansas or down into Oklahoma or any of those areas, right?
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, certainly a lot of attention today in the outside markets on the tensions rising between Iran and Israel affect energy markets. It affected the stock market, the dollar, gold, you name it. But I think it also impacted the meats today. We'll talk a little bit about that with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource today. Plus, we did get the 45Z language out of the Senate Finance Committee. And so we might get into that a little bit today, but there's certainly no shortage of topics to talk about.
So,
So kick us off with the news here, first of all, though.
Will do, Michelle. Winter wheat futures were higher from the jump today, and by the end of the session, spring wheat had even caught the updraft. Support for winter wheat stemmed from a round of short covering. Adding light support, USDA rated the winter wheat crop 52% good to excellent. That's actually down 2 points from last week. Harvest was estimated to be 10% complete, and that's behind the five-year average pace of 16% complete by this time. Spring wheat ratings continue to improve, now at 57% good to excellent. That's up 4 points from last week. July HRW wheat futures today, 11¾ cents higher, 547¾. July soft red wheat gained 12½ cents to 549. September spring wheat futures closed at 644¼. That's up 8¼ cents today. Spring wheat didn't want to come along at first, but it was convinced by the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, the spring wheat ratings improving probably kept that market a little bit lower, but then again, it followed, and I'm not sure if we just saw some short covering today because the funds are so short, or if they got caught up in, you know, the lower ratings on winter wheat or the geopolitical environment.
Well, most corn contracts ended the day higher today with only the lead under light pressure. USDA rated the corn crop as 72% good to excellent. That's up 1 point from last week. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier left his Brazilian corn production estimate unchanged at 130 million metric tons, but does have a slightly higher bias as rains that have slowed Safrina harvest will benefit yields. Emergence there was estimated at 94% by the USDA. July corn futures 3¼ cents lower, 431½. September corn gained 4 cents, 423¾. December corn futures closed at 438¾, up 3¾ cents on the day. 94% emerged here on the corn crop, Michelle.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see at the end of the month how much we actually got planted. I don't know if corn futures today followed wheat or if the market has really not put any weather premium in, so it's been interesting to watch.
Well, the soy complex flipped on its head in today's trade with soybean oil under pressure as soy meal firmed. The result gave a slight lift to soybean futures today. USDA rated the soybean crop as 66% good to excellent, down 2 points from last week, while emergence stood at 84%. Early harvested beans in Argentina reportedly performed well, while yields in later harvested areas are surpassing expectations, compensating for losses caused by flooding in northern Buenos Aires. As a result, South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier raised his Argentine soybean production forecast. July soybeans here at home, 4¼ cents higher, 1074. August beans up 4½, 1076¼. November beans closed at 1067¾. That's up 7¼ cents on the day, Michelle.
Yeah, another strong day. I think we're up about 40 cents in the last 3 days. Soybean oil actually took a little bit of break after the big RVO run, but we still managed to close higher with soybean meal giving us some help.
Well, December cotton today was 47 points lower at 67.55. Michelle, you mentioned this at the very beginning. Look out! Corrective trade pulled the rug out from under fat cattle. August live cattle, $4.90 lower, 210.65. August feeders careened, $6.87½ lower to 303.35. July hogs, 15 cents lower, 111.65. The October contract off $1.95.17½, Michelle.
Yep, and just off of contract highs there yesterday. Well, joining us with Price Action Perspective, Brian Split is in with agmarket.net. And, well, soybean charts, November is looking pretty good here. Are we seeing a breakout yet of those resistance areas?
You know, we definitely have taken out some resistance, Michelle. There's been a downtrend that's been in place from the highs that were scored in fall of 2023. That was back in November. And that comes across highs that were scored last May. So that was our seasonal high last spring. and the May highs that were made last month. We closed above that downtrend yesterday, and then today we actually closed above that May high. So the high for the year, and this is incredible to me, we're within, what, about 8 cents or so of the highs for the year in November soybeans.
Wow.
While the December corn contract made new lows for 2025 yesterday. So it's such a complete different story as far as where each market is trading relative to its big picture trading ranges.
Yeah. Did December corn, did it just follow wheat today? Was there a little, was it all short covering? Because I know, like you said, we kind of bounced off of that little support area there in Dease corn.
Right. Dease corn's been making lows consistently in that 435-ish area. You know, yesterday's low was a new low for the year by just a hair. So nothing meaningful. We're right down at that major, major support that we've been holding for the last month at least. I think, yes, the wheat market definitely had a helping hand in the corn market today. And I think wheat's very close to what could be a potential breakout. If there's any additional geopolitical escalation here over the weekend, you've got July KC wheat right up against highs that were scored early in the month. If we start making new highs for the month, I think that market's got some short covering ahead.
Yeah, did the cattle get tanked by geopolitical concerns? Did we do any chart damage?
Short-term chart damage, you know, it's short-term support, but we still have lows in the month of May that are several dollars away. So the big picture lows are still holding.
All right. Thanks so much. Brian Split, agmarket.net with Price Action Perspective. When we come back, Dan Bossi, president of Ag Resource Company, will be joining us with AgriTalk coming up next.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that the average cow generates more than $21,000 a year in economic activity? These dollars are used throughout our communities, helping to support schools, roads, and local businesses. The dairy industry accounts for nearly 40% of all Wisconsin agriculture jobs. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This Dairy Month message is brought to you by Martin's Transport of Mondovi. Looking for a new career? It's better in blue at Martin Transport. Visit martin.com for more information.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook from Farm Journal in for the vacationing Chip Flory today. Dan Bossy, president of Ag Resource Company, is our guest analyst today. Good to have you with us, Dan.
Oh, it's always fun to be with you, Michelle. There's lots going on in the market, so yeah. Lots to talk about. It's an interesting time.
Yeah, let's start off talking about some of the geopolitical uncertainty that we're seeing with the escalation of the fighting between Iran and Israel. It impacted things, first of all, like the fertilizer market, crude oil, the stock market. But now is it starting to have an impact on some of the ag markets?
I think there's a supportive feature, if you will, in the ag markets. And one of the reasons we saw some short covering, of course, the markets are closed on Thursday for Juneteenth holiday. And with that in mind, traders were just taking off some risk. Not a big volume day here in Chicago. The volume didn't really come forward. And if you look at spreads, July, December corn gave up more ground, if you will. And July, November beans didn't perform very well. So I'm doubtful that this is anything sustainable. But it was still nice to see a little green across the screen today.
Geopolitical uncertainty, did it impact the, I guess, the cattle market in lieu of the stock market or not?
Yeah, I think maybe the data that was coming out that some of the restaurant traffic is starting to come down. We're seeing where people are being more cautious with their wallets, and that played into the cattle market a little bit. Seasonality, we're at that point where the beef market should be very close to a high. So if we form a top in beef, then it's a kind of a guessing game, as you will, on how much cash cattle revert. And that's where the futures market is struggling a little bit, trying to look at the basis, if you will, being down, you know. We think cash cattle will be steady to maybe a couple dollars lower this week. This will be the first steady or lower cash cattle trade, looking all the way back to the end of March. Kind of a change, if you will. But it really comes down to beef and whether the retailer will be able to push beef forward at that, let's call it an average of around $8.57 a pound.
Yeah, and I know the funds are long, say 138,000 contracts in live cattle. So we just don't want them to be spooked by all this either. So
no, that's a good point. They're very long of cattle. They're very short of wheat. And those are the two markets where there's crowded trades, if you will, Michelle. And I think that's got the market at attention, if you will, at this time of the year.
How do you see this fighting or this escalation of fighting between Iran and Israel play out here, especially in these other markets? We talked about the crude oil market, the stock market and whatnot.
Yeah, so the biggest, I think, impact would be obviously in the energies patch. As you look at the Strait of Hormuz, you know, you're looking at something like 20 million barrels a day moving through that tight channel, if you will. So that's the choke point on this war, if you will. And I think, you know, the U.S., I don't want to say they're getting involved in the war, but President Trump indicated that some of our equipment was helping Israel win the war. And then he asked for the surrender of the Iranians, which I found interesting. So if the U.S. gets a little more involved here, I guess what it suggests that maybe this war could be a little shorter than some of the analysts were thinking. But we'll see how that goes. But you did see crude oil up $3. And with that, the grain markets, particularly corn, and was affected to the upside.
Yeah. And I know the rally in crude oil has helped the soybean oil market to some degree with the big rally that we've had. But the RVO levels, can we talk just a little bit about how big of a game changer this was in terms of how many acres of soybeans do we have to plant now in the United States to hit the 5.61 billion biomass-based diesel requirements that we have for 2026?
Yeah, so everybody should understand that 5.61 is based not off of gallons, but based off of RINs. So the way we calculate it is on a RIN basis. On a gallon pure basis, it would be 4.6, but that would be domestic supply. If we do a 50-50 blend with RINs, then we end up with the 5.61, and that's where it comes from. So it is a much more of a moving target than what we had before when it was based on D4 RINs and it was based in gallons. That said, you know, we analysts are all working and trying to understand what full capacity is on crush, how people are bringing in new facilities and how quickly they arrive. We'll have another couple come on before the end of this year, and then Dreyfus is bringing a plant in Ohio in the Q2 of next year. I calculate full capacity, if you look at a run rate of maybe 89 or 90%, Michelle, somewhere around, you know, 2.5, I'm looking at the numbers right now. If I look at it, it would be 2.5. And so We're in that capacity of looking at where full value is. And so that's where my mind goes. If I look at just where margin is today, around 57 cents provides a negative margin for the biodiesel and the renewable diesel producer. So at that margin, I think 57 cents is a struggle to get soybean oil above that, at least for the moment, which means that the meal market's got to come along here if you're going to have a strong rally in soybeans.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about meal in a moment, because meal, I felt like meal yesterday because these bean oil spreads was actually a drag on soybeans, or at least is capping the rally. Is that right?
Well, that is right, and it's going to cap the rally also in corn as bean meal on a competitive basis encroaches on the feed area. So as I look at it, declining meal, and we think it's falling to something like $275 or $280 a ton nearby, will be a problem for the corn market longer term, and we start to question a little bit about feed residual numbers looking forward. I even question this year's feed residual enough. Because of the cheapness of meal nearby. So we'll see how this all comes into play. But I just want to point out the bean oil side of things, because if you do have to have the soybean market going higher, you're going to have oil go much above 57 or 58 cents. And I think that's a stretch as margins would turn negative. Again, this is a proposal. We got to put it up for public comment in July. We'll probably get it enacted in October. But for today, if plants start to go negative on margin, I think they start to scale back on soybean oil usage nearby. And so that's, to me, the key of the soybean market looking forward.
And then what did they use for other feedstocks? What's going to be cheaper? Because we can use cooking oil under the new RVOs, but we only get a half of a RIN credit, right?
Yeah, we only get a half of a RIN credit. So soybean oil as of January 1st will be the veg oil in demand, if you will. And then we're all trying to also figure out if canola from Canada or soybeans from Brazil happen to make it over our borders and into the United States, if it's processed here, would that oil be considered foreign, or will that oil be considered domestic? And so we don't have word back from the EPA on that yet, but we need to understand that, because there are going to be times that canola comes in from Canada and soybeans from South America that we will process here in the United States.
Yeah, and then we have 45Z language on top of that that's going to be part of the big, beautiful bill, and that will have an impact on all this as well, won't it?
It will. In fact, I'm getting a headache just thinking about all these kind of things that are moving. It's so many pieces and parts that, thank God, AI is around, because it's going to replace me. But as I think about 45Z, at least it's in the Senate bill. It does have different language, in particular in terms of producers and what credits would be available under 45Z. So it'd be more favorable to the U.S. farmer. But again, this becomes an arm wrestle now between the House and the Senate. We'll see what the final language ends up. But I'm thankful that both chambers, if you will, have 45Z included, at least as of now.
Yeah, like you said, a long time till we get to the finish line for sure. Does this help domestically make up for the gap that we might see with China if we do not get a deal with them, or if these tensions continue?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, I can take my crush number up in the United States if I get the full capacity, maybe by 40 to 60 million bushels. That will, you know, require some additionality in land next year. But as I look to the importance of trade, you know, that is far more important than what we just saw with RVO. If the Chinese and the United States are unable to get a trade deal, and I use my export estimate of 1.5 billion, that's one much, much different than the 1.8 and change that USDA is suggesting today. So, you know, we can find some additionality in crush, but boy, it's really, really important for the soybean market longer term that we do find China as a reliable trade buyer, and that trade negotiation between the United States and China will loom very large in the markets in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's talk about corn. December corn futures just kind of bouncing off of new lows here. We don't have much weather premium in that market right now, do we?
Well, we may not have a lot, but we would still say that indeed, if my export estimate is correct on corn at about 2.4, USDA is way too high at 2.675. If the Brazilian corn crop is, you know, as big as some are saying, at 135 to 138 down there. And then if we look at the normal weather in Mexico, which would also cut back on some of their corn imports, 2.4 number looks reasonable. So, you know, if I carry 2 billion bushels of corn end stocks for 25, 26, there's still downside risk to 375 or 390 a bushel as we look towards the late summer fall timeframe. So I believe that the corn market today is holding a normal 10% weather premium in price. And if it the weather isn't problematic during July, I still believe we can head December closer to $4 and maybe under $4 as we get into harvest.
All right. I want to pick up when we come back talking a little bit about what's happened with especially the July contract in the corn has been a real disappointment and a head scratcher with all of the strong demand. We'll talk about that when we come back. Dan Bossi is joining us with Ag Resource Company. We'll be right back here on AgriTalk.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 11 and three quarter cents higher, 547 and three quarters. July soft red wheat gained 12 and a half cents to 549. July corn futures 3¼ cents lower, 431 and a half. December corn futures closed at 438 and three quarters. That's up 3¾ cents on the day. July soybean futures were 4¼ cents higher at 1074. November beans closed at 1067 and three quarters. That's up 7¼ cents on the day. December cotton today, 47 points lower, 67.55. Over to your livestock. August fat cattle, $4.90 lower, 210.65. August feeders off, $6.87.5, 303.35. In July, lean hog futures 15 cents lower, 111.65. Try ProFarmer.com.
Want to get smarter?
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are also scheduled dairy tours and field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today, slightly sticky and still warm, with high temperatures scraping 80. Small chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, turns more likely tonight. And we could get soaked tomorrow with heavy rain on and off at times. Cooler temperatures in the upper 70s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory today. Dan Bossi with Ag Resource Company is joining us here. And we kind of left off the discussion talking a little bit about corn, especially old crop corn, which certainly has been a disappointment and a head scratcher to a lot in the trade, Dan. When you looked at the July corn, we hit some calendar year lows here, which was the first head scratcher. July D spreads have kind of been, you know, certainly unwound. And at the same time, we've had exports running well ahead of where USDA had paced us. Ethanol production's been good. So what's wrong with the market? Is it the South American crop or what's wrong?
You know, I keep going back, Michelle, to the cash market. So if we really had the tightness of cash, the 1.365 billion bushels that USDA says we're going to end up at the year. And again, I'm a guy that as I do my analysis on trade, that I think the USDA is still 50 million bushels too low on its export forecast. And I always say that because we now need to average around 39 million bushels a week to reach the USDA number. And we're seeing numbers much above that. But with that said, cash corn is just not grabbing. And if you're going to have a spread that's heading into delivery, you got to have the cash market grabbing. Today, we got Central Illinois cash at about 5 to 8 over. And so depending upon the location, and so that's below by about 15 to 20 cents where we were last year. And it just doesn't suggest that we've got that tightness in the cash market that makes the spread good. You're right. Some of it may be related to the big South American or the Brazilian crop. If it is up at 139 or 40, as some suggest, that's a story for late July and August. But I'm really worried about cash tightness today, and it just doesn't seem to be there.
So historically, when we've had an ending stocks number down at 1.365 billion or in that range, where have we traded? I mean, this seems too low.
The last time we were down at this range, we had corn over $7 a bushel. I mean, if you want to use stock to use analysis, you would say that corn is probably 80 or 90 cents too cheap, relatively speaking. But that analysis only works if you have the cash market, which is voting accordingly with what you're seeing in the stock. So something's amiss. My suggestion or my belief is that if I go back and look at what I call the dry matter in corn, if we look back to the January report that USDA offered us in that smaller yield, a lot of that was related to the dryness of the corn crop that came out last fall. And my ethanol and livestock producers are still working off of May contracts. I say that because the conversion ratio has been so good, both on ethanol and both on feed conversion for livestock. So that dry matter is quite high. We don't have as much water in the corn. And with that, we've used less corn. So if you were to ask me what's going to come out on the stocks report later this month, the 30th of this month, I would guess it may be slightly negative as we see feed residual numbers at maybe 100 or 200 million bushels too high.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if it was going to show up in the quarterly stocks report, because I know years when we've had the basis has been so tight, the quarterly stocks don't necessarily always reflect that either.
No, it's the stocks reports have been problematic over the years, but the cash corn market going into first notice day does have a strong vote, especially with only 2 weeks of trade. Yeah. So I unless cash tightens up here dramatically, I'm afraid we're going to a bigger carry in the July-December spread.
Since we're talking about quarterly stocks, obviously we get the acreage report out on June 30th as well. What's your sense right now in terms of what kind of changes we might see there, especially with the problems that we've had planting over in the eastern and parts of the southeastern Corn Belt?
Yeah, what we see at Ag Resource is that we're looking for a U.S. corn seedings number around 95.9 million acres, slightly under 96. So we're looking at the ability of finding another 600,000 or 700,000 acres, if you will, on corn. And we're looking at finding a couple hundred thousand acres on soybeans. So we're up on both of them, expanding total corn soybean acres closer to 178 and change, if you will, million acres in the country. So historically, there's always this positive trend of finding acres from the intentions to the final. We think it'll happen again this year, Michelle. So to me, it's going to be hard to have a bullish report later this month. If I had any lean both on seedings or on stocks, they probably are slightly negative relative to the surveys we run at Ag Resource.
All right. So does that mean that the corn market, the only hope is that we get some big weather problem? And are we running out of time to get it?
Well, I think that's right. If I look at global corn exporters, a lot of people want to talk about world stocks to use ratios, but to me, it's the major exporters. And we have the major exporters of corn this year, including Argentina, Brazil, Ukraine, and others at a record high. So unless someone in the Northern Hemisphere has a weather problem, the competition for trade is going to be much more aggressive this year than last year. So to your point, I think I need extreme heat during pollination if we're really going to turn this wagon upside down on corn. Other than that, I still think the logical pathway for the corn market is to lower levels, probably under $4 as we look towards late summer, fall.
And the seasonals, we're kind of running out of time too there, aren't we?
Boy, yeah, if we get beyond the upcoming weekend, this most bearish time of the year is from Sunday through about the end of July, both in the corn and soybean market. The wheat market tends to bottom sometime in mid to late July, but corn and soybeans, it's just hard from a seasonal perspective to get a rally unless you really have something special on weather. And today, we're getting enough rain. We're getting some above normal temperatures. It's, I don't want to call it greenhouse, but it is relatively good growing conditions. And we're seeing a contra-seasonal increase in corn condition ratings accordingly.
The other hope that we have maybe to break out of these trading ranges or at least put a floor under these grains is that we start getting some trade deals. But those are moving a little slower than a lot of people thought. Is the market getting tired of waiting?
I think the market's getting tired of waiting, but now I would mention to you that with soybean crush likely to be maximized, if we do get trade deals, they may be more positive to soybeans than to corn. And again, I believe also that as we get trade deals, they'll itemize agriculture, but I'm not sure they're going to give us specifics on what a Vietnam or a Thailand or another country would buy in terms of U.S. corn or other commitments. So we'll see. But as I look at the U.K. deal as being a benchmark or a blueprint, I'm not seeing the details in that trade agreement that would tell me to itemize whether it's beef or corn or another crop and saying how important is this going to be in a year ahead. It's just kind of a basket approach to what we expect them to buy to make sure that we rebalance some of that trade surplus from the UK or other countries.
Yeah. We also are quickly approaching the time period where the 90-day pause runs out on the tariff delay. Do we start seeing the market get nervous or start to sell off again like we did last time?
I would believe as once we get past the stocks and seedings report, if there's not a weather problem, we will start to get more nervous relative to what tariffs could be and the pressure that this administration will place upon some of these countries to do a deal. So we'll see how that all comes forward. But I think we're all disappointed that the 90 days is coming and we've only had one deal and the specifics of that deal, although we got some granularity in Canada from the G7 meeting, it's still not to what we would like as analysts to understand what this country is going to be buying from us in a year ahead to balance out trade.
Yeah, we don't have any details on the China deal either, do we?
No, we don't. And that's, of course, a middle of August, just so our listeners aren't confused. The April reciprocal tariffs are the July 9th. The other ones are the middle of August for China and the United States. I'm not sure when the next meetings will be held, but I'm fearful that the U.S.-China meetings will go well on into the end of the year, which we've got to get China buying soybeans and other products from the United States in late August if we're going to have them embark on an aggressive campaign of importing U.S. soybeans during our harvest.
So if we do not have deals by July 9th, is President Trump going to again increase those tariff rates on these countries? I mean, is he going to put out a new reciprocal tariff list or what's going to happen?
Well, he said last week that he's going to be sending individual letters to these countries indicating what their tariffs rates would be. And I think that's the first step. But, you know, I've also learned in this administration not to be too cavalier and say things that may change tomorrow. So we'll figure out what happens. But at some point, maybe the Trump administration would do another 30 or 45 day extension. I think they want to do these trade deals. They're anxious for them to get done. But boy, these trade deals are difficult. There's a lot of detail and there's something that you just can't do in the back of an envelope with any kind of speed or quickness that would get it to the time frame of July 9th.
Yeah, you're talking 9 months at a minimum, I think, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. It's and when you got this kind of volume, it's even worse than that, Michelle. I think some of these countries have 2,000 lines of trade code that they have to get through, and they have to negotiate each one of them. It's a big, big process, and I'm not sure we have the staff in Washington or the ability to do as much as they'd like. So look for some broad brush deals. But again, in agriculture, we like granularity on what a country will be buying.
How do you see the ITC hearings and whatnot play out now? The appeals court said they're going to allow the tariffs to stay in place until July 31st, I guess, when the court starts hearing oral arguments. So how does that change this process, or does it?
Well, and there's a lot of talk that they will hear those arguments, but we're all ultimately heading to the Supreme Court. So if you're a country that's negotiating with the United States and you're uncertain whether the tariffs will come or go, your negotiating position is stronger and the United States is diminished. And that's what's happening here, which is I'm thinking in a lot of these countries, they're not quite sure what next steps are in terms of the tariffs and where we're going. So we'll see how this all comes to play. But you know, the 10% tariffs seem to be okay. In other words, we're not ruffling too many trade feathers, but I do worry about an escalation and pressure that could come from this administration if they'd like to get deals done before any Supreme Court ruling would be forthcoming.
Does the Trump administration, I guess, even follow whatever the ruling is? I mean, they've been kind of just doing whatever they want.
No, that's right. But I do believe that if the Supreme Court has some say, that this administration would have to follow it. But there are other levers that the administration could pull, 301, 199. There's other things that could happen, but they don't have the same teeth as what we're dealing with now. So there would have to be a study like we did in China back in 2018 to say the Chinese are unfair trading partners. Or we'd have to have a 150-day window such that we can put tariffs on, but there's going to be a review process. And then after 150 days, we'll look at where there needs to be an answer one way or the other.
All right, Dan Bossi with Ag Resource. Thanks for joining us here on AgriTalk.
Anytime, Michelle. Be well, everyone.
Day one. Every piece of land tells a story. The right equipment helps you tell it your way. Impromptu ball games, evenings with friends, or working on your own little piece of paradise. That's your story. A John Deere mower from Tractor Central helps you get there with precision, comfort, speed, and even a little fun. Visit Tractor Central to find the right John Deere lawn tractor or zero turn for your property. And a quality cut? That's only the beginning. Start now at TractorCentral.com.
It's a John Deere day.
Take some extra time shopping the Dairy Case and enjoy the many things that get their start on dairy farms. If it weren't for milk and butter, how could we enjoy coffee cake and muffins? And without a dollop of sour cream, that beautiful baked potato would be just another spud.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute is being brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. We belong to you.
At Wisconsin Credit Union, we're proud to serve our communities and our members. And we're especially proud when they tell us how happy they are to be a member of our credit union. Our uncommon level of service is something that's consistently reflected in the awesome feedback we receive. It also earns us the ranking as one of Wisconsin's best credit unions year after year. But what we're really happy about is earning the loyalty of so many members, which is why we reward them with our membership value pricing loyalty program. With basic, silver, and gold levels. And the higher the MVP status, the greater the benefits, like even higher deposit rates, lower cost loans, and other perks. If you haven't joined us yet, just reach out to learn how easy it is to become a member and qualify for MVP status at Wisconsin Credit Union, where, like our feedback and ratings confirm, you'll always be treated like an MVP. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When the game is on the line,
Championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here, along with guest host Michelle Rook. Michelle, thank you so much, by the way, for hopping in here in Chip's absence.
Glad to be here.
It's great. We really appreciate your insights, your professionalism. You're great. We really appreciate it.
You don't have to suck up to me. Come on, Davis. You really don't.
I know. I don't.
I don't write my name on your check or sign it or anything like that. So.
Well, not yet, but maybe someday, Michelle. Hang in there. Yeah. You know.
I have a love of markets. I always have, and so. Yeah. That's my lane, and so I'm happy to do it and be on here. I'm a better question asker than I am just talking and talking and talking. So if you want to talk or want to ask me a question, I'll answer it. But I'm not as good as Chip is at just, like, how he talks about things and just, you know, goes from one thing to the next and just, I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. The dude's got an encyclopedic brain. I don't know how he does it either. My only thought is that he must have eaten, you know, more pork than we did when we were kids or something in those formative years, and he grew some kind of super brain.
Pig brain, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Fueled by pork. Hey, you were asking me about this morning, and I'm just going to take a second and throw out a shameless plug for this morning's show, this Tuesday morning. We were with the good folks at ACAM, America's Conservation Ag Movement. ACAM, there it is. I almost missed the second A there. ACAM, you can go to AmericasConservationAgMovement.com for more information. But this morning's show, Michelle, we were out in Montana. And check this out. We were talking to Ryan Lankford, Lankford Farms. He's hosting the event. He's running a whole bunch of acres here. Let me get the right page. There we go. Produces winter wheat, spring wheat, canola, peas, lentils, chickpeas, flax, and barley on over 10,000 acres. The operation that that they put together there on Langford Farms. And the interesting thing, Michelle, I asked him about all those different crops, and to him, it is in some ways at least a form of risk management. He's spreading out his risk on all of these crops. So he's got all sorts of things going. He's grazing. It's been really interesting to talk to them. So check out the morning show. You can get it on Farm Journal TV if you like, if you're hooked into there. Have you seen Farm Journal TV, Michelle? It's the coolest
thing.
Yes,
I have. It is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both on there. So.
Yeah. I don't know what they'll think of next. I'm happy here, you know? I signed up to be on the radio, and they put us on TV instead. Not sure how to feel about that. Okay, we could also plug the Farm Journal Yield Academy if you'd like.
Yes, we can. This will be the first year that we have the Yield Academy, and it's going to be held in conjunction with the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. So when we go to Rochester that very last day, which is Thursday of Crop Tour, they will have a day-long session called Yield Academy, and they're going to be having a lot of great speakers, including Ken Fieri, and I was going to look at the list. I know we have it in the chat, but it's going to be a lot of sessions about how to increase your yield. And, of course, we've been doing a lot of stuff with David Hula and Randy Dowdy on breaking barriers. And, of course, they are some world record corn and soybean producers. And so they're going to be there. Machine Repeat, Dan Bossi, who we just talked to, obviously, will be there. And that's August 21st in Rochester, Minnesota. You can go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com if you want to get more information or if you want to do early registration. And then join us that night as we have the big results out from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour that night, and have our big banquet and event that night there at the big convention center. So it'll be fun.
You always wonder, like, I feel like there should be kind of some fun awards at that final crop tour meeting, like the sunburn award. You know, who's got the worst sunburn type of deal. I'm always curious as to what the scouts find, like, meal wise while they're out there traveling and stuff. If I get them on the phone, it's like, what'd you find for lunch? And man, some of that sounds good.
Sometimes they plan their routes around, you know, some of those guys have done this for years and years, and then they plan their route around, oh, I know this cafe that's really good, so let's kind of go this direction so we can stop there for lunch. I mean, they have this all timed out.
They really do. Sure. They really do. But
and there's some great places to eat.
Oh, there really are. There really are. And to put Farm Journal's Yield Academy, it's the premier edition of Yield Academy on the same day in the same place as Pro Farmer's final crop tour meeting. I don't know who came up with that idea, but that's a big day. I mean, you go, you learn all day, and then, you know, you go hang out at crop tour, and there's learning to be done there. You glad hand, you meet some people. August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota. August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota. Get more. Where did you say more? At Farm Journal Yield Academy.
Farm Journal Yield Academy.com.
Very good. Very good.
So again,
hey, it was good talking to Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. I guess my biggest takeaway was it feels like he's a little concerned for the near future. He mentioned that time period between now and the end of July, and I feel like rallies along the way probably need to be rewarded. Everybody needs to keep an eye on their cost of production and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Oof. Well, we thought we were going to maybe get a weather push here because of some of the prognostications about drought and especially the Western Corn Belt and heat. But so far, it just keeps getting pushed off and off. And if we don't get a weather threat, it's going to be tough here on this corn market.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, let's talk about a little bit of weather. I got the National
Weather
Service.
You bet.
I got it right up here. Wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Here's the 8 to 14 day. Here's the 6 to 10 day outlook from the National Weather Service. The two really aren't that different. Draw a line north to south and cut the United States in half. Your eastern side of that is expecting above normal temperatures in the 6 to 10 day. West of that, below normal temperatures expected. The entire Corn Belt is expecting above normal precipitation in the 6 to 10 day precip outlook. Pretty similar deal in the 8 to 14 day there. A little bit wider scope on the precipitation. Michelle, great job today. Why don't you take us home?
Farmer Free for All tomorrow morning at 10:06. I'll be hosting that, and then join us again at 2:06 again for AgriTalk PM. Darren for Water Street Solutions will be joining us. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory. You've been listening to AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. And make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Days of missile strikes between Israel and Iran continue to escalate, and now President Trump is calling for Iran's unconditional surrender of its nuclear program.